previously on Queen of the Con. Con artist Danielle Miller has a disturbing and painful past to overcome.
When Danielle was in the eighth grade, she sent a video of her doing something with a Swiffer. And it was kind of like the first viral example of revenge porn. And it was horrible.
Her name has been dragged through the mud since she's 13 years old.
But as Danielle Miller grows into a young woman, she shocks her friends and family by fully embracing a life of crime. At 27 years old, she's caught red-handed and arrested at the Body Factory skincare spa in New York City, using stolen credit cards to pay for expensive skincare treatments like Botox and Kool Sculpting. Then, suddenly, the arresting officer makes a prophetic discovery.
He took her purse, and he opened the purse, and he found out another 25 credit cards inside.
What?
So she was doing this a lot.
Danielle's wealthy dad hires a high-powered attorney to get her out of jail. But then, she skips town and doesn't show up for an important court appearance. So, a bench warrant is issued for her arrest. And authorities end up finding her in the most unlikely place.
It's crazy.
I'm Jonathan Walton, and this is Queen of the Con, The Rich Girl. Episode 3, The Best Shit.
There's a lot of bad people like that, and we need to be careful.
When Body Factory skincare spa owner Eugene Kagansky calls the cops on Danielle Miller in November of 2017, he's determined to stop her from scamming his business.
My goal was to catch her and to put her in her place.
But Danielle Miller manages to weasel her way out from the grip of justice by not showing up to court, where five felony counts, including grand larceny, identity theft, and the unlawful possession of IDs, await her.
And that's the risk that lawyers take, right? The clients are who they are, and they aren't going to change their course of behavior just because the lawyer says they're going to show up. They're going to do what they're going to do.
She's in law school at this point, right? So she knows that not showing up to a court appearance for a criminal case, the judge is going to issue an arrest warrant. Do you think maybe she thought that's only New York? How do arrest warrants work?
Arrest warrants are nationwide.
But former federal prosecutor Scott Tenley, now an attorney at Michael Munn & Robinson, says just because there's a warrant out doesn't necessarily mean an arrest is imminent.
In some instances, if you're outside of the jurisdiction, you're not going to arrest somebody on the warrant and then cart them back to New York, for instance, from California. So it can depend on the nature of the warrant.
So maybe she wasn't wrong in thinking if she just stays out of New York, she can not get arrested on that arrest warrant.
It's possible. I mean, listen, if you had a traffic ticket and didn't show up for court, you might have a bench warrant out. But if you're traveling to Hawaii, they're not going to arrest you, throw you into jail, and fly you back to Jersey or something for a traffic ticket. So it could depend, but you would hope somebody who is studying to be a lawyer and wants to be a member of the bar is going to take orders of the court, which an arrest warrant is, very seriously. They're going to show up when and where they're told, and that's something that she certainly wasn't interested in doing. So I think you would want to hold law students and future lawyers to a higher standard.
Authorities do eventually manage to locate Danielle Miller, albeit unintentionally, at the Mexican border, trying to enter the United States through San Diego. It's the last place you'd think a criminal would be arrested on a warrant issued from a New York court 2,700 miles away. And yet, the Mexican border can be a popular place to nab scammers when they least expect it.
I had a defendant who conned, it was like $4.5 million out of retirees, and he had an ankle bracelet on, cut his bracelet, and went to the border. And just so happened, because he walked rather than taking a car, they screened him and he had all his money and his clothes, and we got him into custody.
When Danielle Miller crosses the Mexican border into San Diego, U.S. Border Patrol agents run her passport through their database,
and C, there's an active warrant out for her arrest. So she's immediately detained, taken into custody, and put in a holding cell while she awaits extradition back to New York. Still though, Danielle Miller is refusing to talk to me, but she has explained her side of things publicly to other interviewers, and as you can imagine, the way she tells it, she's completely innocent, saying, quote,
"It was at the Mexican border. I was coming into the States on my birthday. I was in a bathing suit. And they said there was a warrant for me. I mean, I was like, no, there's not. Like, what are you talking about? They brought me to a detention center at the border of Mexico, and I completely freaked out. They said that New York's extradition laws, they have 20 days to come and pick me up. But everyone and their mother in the jail was like, there's no way they're going to come and get you for this charge. They're like, this is insane. Like, you know how much money it costs for them to come and get you, just to come and get you? Like, after 20 days, if they don't come here to pick you up, then you get to go and go deal with whatever this is. So on the 19th day, I'm thinking I'm going to be leaving. They're like, hey, Miller, pack up, like, ready to go. And they told me that the agents were there for me to bring me back to New York. And they made me put back on my bathing suit and back on my little heels and my purse and wouldn't give me clothes. I was brought to Rikers Island on a warrant for supposedly going to a salon and using someone else's credit card at the salon under my name. And to this day, I didn't do that. Someone must have used my profile at this place and used someone else's credit card, but I literally didn't do that. It was for something like $4,000, and I wasn't a good girl, but, like, I didn't do that. But they put me into Rikers Island with no bail because they said I was a flight risk. But, like, it was really strange because, like, I have, like, ties to New York City. Like, I'm from here. I've never been in trouble before.
Your dad is the president of the New York Bar, or was.
Yeah. At the time, he was literally the president at the time. And I think it was, like, somewhat political. I mean, there were literally murderers, women that were telling me, like, I stabbed and killed my husband and they had, like, $1 million bail. So it's just, like, this was, like, for a $4,000 thing where I'm telling them, like, just take my card and, like, charge it. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but, like, I didn't do this and they remanded me.
It's hard to say whether she did it or not, but...
Oh, no, she did it.
You think so?
Yeah. My buddy Evan Goldstein is falling for Danielle Miller's glib yet believable-sounding explanations. So I show him all the court records in that New York spa case to snap him out of it.
I have to admit, listening to her talk, I kind of started drinking her Kool-Aid a little bit.
I think it's because you're a straight guy and want to bang her.
Well, you know, if you want to be on my podcast called Evan and a Stranger...
Is that an iHeart too?
But, you know, like there is something, I don't know. Like you could tell she is very charismatic, I think.
Yeah, she is very
charismatic. She's very intelligent. She's very attractive.
Yeah.
She has a lot going for her as far as like to be successful as a con artist. I'll readily admit, I believed her when I first started listening to her talk. Like she has a way of making it all sound plausible, make it all sound reasonable, but like, you know, oh, that wasn't me.
Yeah, that's her magic. That's her superpower. That wasn't me. And she can convince a lot of people.
And she clearly has people still helping her.
Oh, yeah.
She has people, you know, idolizing her.
Well, she's got 30 plus thousand followers on Instagram.
And they want to know the saga.
Yeah. I mean, the way she tells it in that podcast, it's a misunderstanding. Somebody else made an appointment with her profile, like she's spinning and spinning and spinning. But that's not how things go. There is body cam footage of them arresting her. I'm trying to get my hands on that footage. There is a police report. There is a mugshot. It is her. Her father hires that high-powered lawyer who represented the likes of Giuliani and Harvey Weinstein. So you know what a retainer is for a lawyer like that?
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
It's like a regular lawyer for a criminal retainer is like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. A lawyer like that, it could be $100,000.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. And the way lawyers work, which I envy, you have to pay them first.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give the lawyer the money up front before he does any work. So if it wasn't her who got arrested, who got that lawyer who was also himself a former president of the New York Bar?
Mm-hmm.
So if that wasn't her, like she says... Who was it? And how did it get that far? Like, of course it was her. They print you. They look at your ID when they arrest you. So the way she's saying it on that podcast, she's trying to make it sound like, oh, it was a mistaken identity. That wasn't me. I don't know who it was. Someone impersonating me. And then she alludes to, oh, it's political because her father is the president of the New York Bar. This is like a political attack or something. It's preposterous. But, you know, points for effort.
To this day, I didn't do that.
Again, this is what Danielle has said publicly about her Body Factory skincare spa arrest.
Someone must have used my profile at this place and used someone else's credit card, but I literally didn't do that.
She's denying the person they arrested at that spa with a handbag full of other people's credit cards and IDs was her.
Is there a scenario in the whole world where that could be true? Yeah, I mean, possibly.
Former federal prosecutor Scott Tenley.
But when you look at the rest of her record and the conduct that she's engaged in, it becomes very, very, very difficult to believe that it was a mistake in that instance.
I like how diplomatic you are. I'm going to say it's impossible. There's no way that wasn't her.
You can go for it.
So what is the police body cam footage is wrong? The mugshot is wrong? That's impossible. And let's not forget, the owner of the Body Factory skincare spa, Eugene Kagansky, is an eyewitness to Danielle Miller in his spa paying for treatments using stolen credit cards.
Suddenly, Danielle Miller, she came out, she was happy, she really thought that we don't even know what's going on. We caught her. They arrested her on the spot.
Danielle Miller is no doubt hoping that if she just keeps repeating her version of events, that the spa arrest was a case of mistaken identity, people might believe her.
That was definitely a thing that I heard when I met with her the first time, is that it was all a mix-up and a misunderstanding.
Journalist Jessica Pressler.
There's too many times that these misunderstandings have happened, right? It's like you can make a mistake like once or twice, but not like seven times.
It's November 2018 now. Danielle Miller is sitting in jail at Rikers Island, awaiting trial for scamming the Body Factory skincare spa. At this point, her powerful dad reportedly wants nothing to do with her. He cuts ties and cuts financing. That high-dollar attorney, Barry Commons, is relieved of duty. And Danielle Miller is assigned a public defender, which costs nothing. Now, most people who go to Rikers for the first time are terrified. They keep to themselves. They try not to stick out. They're skittish. But Danielle Miller's behavior coming into Rikers flies in the face of standard operating procedure.
She sort of came into Rikers and made friends with people, which is not really kind of how people behave generally when they come into Rikers Island. They're afraid and cower in the corner, but she was kind of like lively and made friends a lot when she went in. So yeah, so they were confused by it and were like, is she for real? Because there was kind of a theory in Rikers that she was maybe like a law enforcement plant or somebody who had been put in there to get their confessions, because she's very like friendly and bubbly, and I think people were just like, what is this? Is this a real person? And then Danielle called me at some point from Rikers Island, and we had a conversation.
She called you?
Oh yeah. And she told me her story of being arrested in what she referred to as her really dope YSL heel and her bikini while coming over the border from Mexico. And she's a great storyteller, obviously.
Something I've learned, all con artists are great storytellers. I mean, if you have any hope at all of separating a victim from their money, you gotta suck them in with a great story. You gotta make them feel for you. You gotta make them love you. And the inmates at Rikers Island love Danielle Miller. Not just because she's friendly and outgoing, but because she's giving them things. Things from the jail's commissary. Snacks, shampoo, clean underwear. That stuff's gold at Rikers. Apparently, someone from the outside is adding tons of cash to Danielle Miller's jail commissary account so she can continue giving away free stuff to all the inmates and continue making friends. Her family's not funding her freebies. They had reportedly disowned her by this point. Instead, those commissary credits are coming from a guy she scammed nearly 3,000 miles away.
I bought her all the best shit in like an extreme amount. So that way she was getting flooded with all these things in her cell, and she's got all the good shit.
Why Mackenzie Day, who himself is a victim of Danielle Miller, is now flooding her jail cell with goodies is a complicated story that starts back in 2017 when Danielle Miller is living in Los Angeles.
it was just every day that I knew her, something was going on, unless I kept her happy. There's a part of her that, like, I do love as a friend. Like, there's another Danielle in there, you know, and someone who is smart, articulate, talented, a good friend will, like, get your back, but will stab it immediately if she's not getting what she wants and go dark immediately. Like, also always working something.
33-year-old Mackenzie Day looks like an Abercrombie & Fitch model with his chiseled features and wavy brown hair. I'm posting pictures of him on our Instagram, at Queen of the Con, so you can see for yourself. He's the director of operations at Block Fusion, a Bitcoin mining facility in Niagara Falls.
Data management takes a lot of energy, hydroelectric being clean, green, reusable, sustainable.
So that's why you're in Niagara Falls?
Yes.
Because that's a big hydroelectrical generator.
One of the biggest.
But Mackenzie actually crosses paths with Danielle Miller in Los Angeles in 2017.
I was in the military. I did 5 years in the Marine Corps. During that time, I met a really good friend. We'll call her Davey. You know, we're both living in Los Angeles. Fresh new start, fresh new job, fresh new friends. Within a couple of weeks, me and Davey met up, and one of the people that she introduced me to was Danielle Miller. One of the things where she was out, I was out, she's like, oh, come through, say hi. You know, we haven't seen each other since we'd been out of the treatment program, and then boom.
So you and Davey were freshly sober.
Yeah, freshly, we would say on a good mental health path, right? She had problems with opiates, and I had problems with mental health.
And they're both about to have problems with you-know-who.
Dude, this girl's a walking con artist. Like, do not trust this woman.
But that's not how Danielle Miller presents when Mackenzie meets her. Like all con artists, she's incredibly charming and comes off like a real power broker with tons of A-list connections in L.A.
She was able to influence her position through her expertise in business, and that's how she got my interest, was being an independent businesswoman on the charge to do something.
At this point in 2017, Danielle Miller is academically disqualified from Pepperdine University. That's what their student services department tells us. And she's reportedly working various low-level public relations jobs around town.
I think I met her in her shift coming out of Pepperdine.
Mackenzie, on the other hand, is in media production.
At the time, I had been director producer for a group called Team 10. Jake Paul, if you know him. It's everyday, bro, with the Disney Channel flow. 5 million on YouTube in 6 months, never done before. Been involved in like a lot of social media stuff. And then, you know, King Bay, all these like YouTuber names goes on and on. But what I was doing was directing and producing music videos.
Mackenzie is ambitious. He wants to be a major filmmaker one day. And even though Danielle Miller is reportedly just an entry-level PR flack, that's not what she projects to the world, especially to Mackenzie.
She had, you know, the media to back it up. She had the, so, hey, look at this article, look at this interview I just did. And then later, you know, finding out that it was paid, right? And you're just like, wow.
Meaning she paid a website or a service to publish an article about her.
Yes, paid media.
A lot of them do that. There's a case I'm investigating right now in Florida where this woman is scamming people, pretending to be like this mover and shaker in the entertainment and music industry. And when you Google her name, all these articles come up. But when you search back to where they came from, they're from her.
Yeah.
She paid to put them out there.
Yes.
So it's a great way to trick people when they Google you into thinking, oh, look at all these incredible things she's done.
Well, it's also a really creative way to push down SEO, right?
SEO, or search engine optimization.
So if there's stuff that, you know, in a brand
bad
or
things.
A person, yeah, if there's whatever, or just, you know, curating your look in a search, right? And Google being, you know, the most prominent, right? You had bad, an arrest or whatever it is, to shove all of those down, right? It's a PR tactic or a SEO tactic. You know, either you get it removed or you push it down so that way you're clicking.
Push it down to like the third page, the fourth page, the fifth page. And when people Google you, they don't know that you were arrested for stealing 30 credit cards from 30 identities.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm posting screen grabs at Queen of the Con on Instagram of some of these paid online articles Danielle Miller commissioned about herself. They look pretty legit. And they help suck Mackenzie into her made-up world, tricking him into believing she has powerful connections that can take him to the next level.
And just like our previous con queens, Mayor Smith and Lizzie Mulder, she offers to help.
Like, she was able to influence her position by things that I wanted to help, like, grow my career with. So it was never like, oh, here, have a Gucci bag and let me give you, right. Some Versace shoes or whatever. It wasn't like that type of situation. She caught me on like, oh, hey, I have this invitation to film festivals. Me thinking it's invitation is she bought the tickets, right? She put her name on the thing.
Right. She presented herself to you as like this big mover and shaker in Los Angeles with all these insane connections, and that impressed you.
Strong female entrepreneur that was independent. You know, maybe she had daddy's money. She was doing it to build her business. She wasn't just being some washover.
Daddy's money. That's a whole other story. At this point, Danielle Miller's father is reportedly not talking to her and has, for all intents and purposes, disowned her. But that's not what she tells Mackenzie. According to Danielle, she's extremely close to her father. They talk every day. Oh, and by the way, there's this trust fund.
She said, you know, during our like friendship, she was like, you know, if we just get married, I'll be able to get so many millions. And she's like, then we can just like split it up. And I was like, bro, I would never, not for like, you know, I'm like, dude, and this is already like down the road of so many issues already. Just being like, no, like I'm not, that is an actual con. Like, I was just like, yeah, never, dude, like find someone else. Like, that's a joke. Because I couldn't imagine now, then I would just be married to this girl thinking we were going to like bankroll, like unspeakable. Oh, man.
I'm getting the impression she was in love with you.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, it got pretty awkward.
Did you share feelings? Did you have sex with her at any point? Were you guys intimate?
No. Like, we'd be, you know, doing a photo shoot or whatever it was. And you know when someone takes 1,000 photos and you're like, ha 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 ha, oh my God. Nah, nah, nah. And it's always the one where it looks like we're about to make out, where she has a folder of, see, he loves me. He loves me. He said he loves me in a text message, you know? And I'm like, at the time, like before things got bad, which was only a 4-week breakdown of how everything got dismantled, I was like, gee, I love you. Like, blah, blah, blah.
Did she really have a trust fund that she was trying to access her millions by marrying you? Or was she trying to con you into marrying her by claiming you guys could both get millions? What do you think it is?
100% con. 100%. There is no money that her family would give her. She's already past her 30s. If there was a trust fund, would have already been awarded it. Her dad technically was a high profile lawyer in New York and, you know, was wheeling and dealing.
And for the record, during the time Mackenzie and Danielle are in business together, he's under the impression she and her dad have a great relationship and talk every day. It's only now, looking back, he realizes that wasn't true at all.
He does not talk to her, disowned her. This was prior to us even speaking. Family is just completely detached. Do not talk to her. There is no father in this story. There's no mother in this story. There's no brother in this story.
So the time you met her in 2017, had her family, father included, already disowned her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because wow. there had already been issues with identity theft and fraud. And the reason she was able to cover for so much of her theft during the time that I knew her. And mind you, it was like a 6-month period. I do not believe in any context that any of it was paid out by her family, nor was she with some sort of like fund. Everything was stolen. Every part of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, shortly after meeting Danielle Miller, Mackenzie has no idea he's hitching his wagon to a bona fide con artist.
She was starting an agency called Epic Advisory, and she wanted to team up using all the stuff I do on the side of film, but her advantage to legal, you know, contracts and styling and all these access that she had. So we could make good content, good videos, and elevate. So whatever she was doing is what she was doing. I'd be in business mindset, and she, like, obviously in a clear and present way had been like, oh, this is because we're dating and we're together. And I was like, oh, fuck. Which is another reason to pull chucks, because I'm like, dude, like, no. Like, you know, and like, I'm in my professional career, like, I don't date people or like sleep with people that I work with. It's just, I've seen it over. You can't be the skeezy videographer or photographer, right? It just doesn't.
Yeah.
Some people it works for, but I mean, I just don't want that legacy, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. You're in business with her, 2017, Los Angeles. Things appear to be going well. Mm-hmm. What's the first sign that something is up?
Oh, I feel like it was the late night, harassment, or the always trying to, if I left or I wasn't paying enough attention, it was getting attacked or harassed, or any time that I wasn't available because I was off not working, doing my own shit or with my own people, it was like getting blasted with texts and paragraphs and emails and this and that. So I was like, oh shoot, you know, you start to see like that, like crazy meter start to tick up, you know. And then in business, she used the same, when we started, you know, doing our mutual like New Day production and Epic Advisory or teaming up articles and stuff, the same guy that did her first article and she sent to me said, hey, I got featured in this. We get on an interview with him. Well, I had now realized that she had paid for that. So I'm like, wait, she's using the same tactics and the same connections and the same people to now build up our, and she's like, yeah, it's going to get posted on 1,000 different, you know, channels over here, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is the same dude. Did you pay for I'm like, oh, all right.
She paid for that article.
So I was like, oh, this is all paid PR, which now my brain's adjusting, seeing the crazy infatuation starting to turn, seeing the attention needs starting to turn, seeing like all these things that she had built up as like, I'm successful, I'm doing this. Now seeing the underground of how it's, which was really educational.
You're in this promotions business together where she's handling the legal aspect of it and making all the high-end connections. She tells you there's a trust fund. She's trying to make you think what, like she comes from a lot of money and a lot of power?
Yes. Money and the connections and putting me in front of different indie filmmakers. And this is the annoying part. She understood my problem with social media. And I saw this a lot with all the Logan Paul followers. If you went against Logan Paul, you had this swarm of 11-year-olds that would just just everything and anything and just like totally violate you. I had like been already kind of seeing a lot of that happen, and especially in being within that like realm of YouTubers. I wanted to start something against cyberbullying, a nonprofit, right? She's all into it because she went through the cyber thing with...
with Swiffergate.
Yeah, Swiffergate. It's like, oh, cool. You understand it. I understand it. If we're going to partner up, let's like go at this. Like, and let's start a nonprofit so we can do everything that you would do in a business. But then now it's just like, what's all your information? I need social. I need to know all your information. So now she's got my social, my addresses, my phone number. She can accumulate some sort of what I would, you know, we only use however many passwords at a time. I gave her everything. For the 3 months that we were producing, directing, you know, she was once again handling the contracts, doing the legal side and all her wisdom, you know, doing the LA swab thing, using her trust fund to get us a swagger office in West Hollywood. She's got like this really sick apartment right across from 1600 Vine in another spot, you know, with a card on it so that we go up, have our meetings in the top and anyone can drink whatever.
Wow.
These are all American Express that like she had used in other people's funds, and everything was bankrolled by other people, like them not even knowing, right?
So she stole credit cards to pay for all that office and all those meetings and all that high-end Hollywood schmooze?
Yes. Well, also mine. It makes me like so angry. Basically, anywhere she's worked, she's stole people's information. I mean, I knew there was things going on because I started getting calls. There's so many people that she's come in contact with that if she like sees any sort of weakness, she'll just do it for fun. Like, oh, hey, can I see your phone? Can I call this person real quick? And she's like, once it's unlocked, she has all your stuff. And like, I had a couple of friends have been like, hey, you told me you were engaged to some girl this. I'm like, why am I getting yelled at right now? It's like 3 a.m. Like, what are you doing? And she's like, you should have told me you had an ex-wife like this. I'm like, excuse me, but who are you talking about? She's like, I spoke to Danny. And I'm like, excuse me, what? Can you say that in a sentence? She's like, it's not true. I'm like, let me send you a few articles and then I'm going to let you call me back. And then they call me back. They're like, oh my God, I had no idea. I'm like, did she ever touch anything in your purse or your house or your phone? She's like, I'm going to have to call you back. I'm like, what are you like? Yeah, I'm crazy.
Keep in mind, this is all going on during the time Danielle Miller is on the run from that New York criminal case. The one charging her with 5 felonies for scamming the Body Factory skincare spa. The one where she skips town before her next court appearance, so the judge issues a bench warrant for her arrest. If you recall from earlier, where Danielle acts surprised when she gets arrested at the Mexican border, saying publicly, quote,
and they said there was a warrant for me. I mean, I was like, no, there's not. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, she secretly knows exactly what they're talking about, as does Mackenzie.
There had been a time that we were shooting. I took her on a project to go shoot with one of my like favorite influencers I work with. We were all in Joshua Tree in the middle of the desert. And the sheriff comes in and I have all these lights set up. And like we had pulled off the road and we were doing this like impromptu film scene with like this ballerina and like this desert like at night, like really cool stuff. The sheriff pulls up and he's like, no off-roading. And then it started. He's like, you guys need to get out of here. Like, don't be stupid. And then runs my ID and her ID. And then like, miss, we need to talk to you. That was the first incident where it was like, what was up with that? Because basically he's like, listen, it's going to be 3 hours just to drive you to the nearest penitentiary to get this sorted out. He's like, whatever you have going on, you need to take care of because you have warrants out.
What were you thinking? You're in Joshua Tree for this shoot, for this job, and
yeah.
Police pull you over and tell you she has bench warrants. You guys better get this taken care of. What are you thinking?
I'm like super sketched out. Also, like one of the influencer that I was working with, the ballet or ballerina, like her mom is always with her. I have really good rapport with them, been working with them for years. Like they're both over here side eyeing like the whole thing because she gets pulled and put in the back and like they run everything and have a conversation where they're completely sidebar and then comes over. He's like, you need to get this taken care of. He's like, I could have put you in jail tonight. He's like, you're lucky. It's like 3 hours away kind of stuff.
Wow.
You know, and I'm over here looking at her like, what? Like, what was that? Like, you know, and she's like, nothing. It's just something you have to deal with. She's like, it wasn't me. But then like, that's when the first was like mistaken identity theft. Like, so
it wasn't me. Yeah.
No. Yeah. She's like, nothing. It's something I got tied up in. It had nothing to do with me. You know, that kind of biz.
Incredibly, Danielle Miller still has a video from that ballerina social media influencer shoot in Joshua Tree that day on her Instagram page. I'm posting a screen recording of it on our Instagram page, at Queen of the Con, if you're curious. And shortly after that run-in with authorities in Joshua Tree, where she's explicitly warned that there's a bench warrant out for her arrest, she drives to Mexico and gets arrested on that same bench warrant she was told about, trying to come back into the United States through San Diego.
And they said there was a warrant for me. I mean, I was like, no, there's not. Like, what are you talking about?
I guess she wasn't planning on that New York bench warrant showing up on U.S. Border Patrol computers in San Diego, even though she knew it had already shown up when that sheriff in Joshua Tree, a barren desert 160 miles east of Los Angeles, ran her ID from his squad car.
Basically, everything after that just started compiling.
At this point, Mackenzie Day has no idea. Con artist Danielle Miller is just getting started.
I got called by a Tesla dealership in Detroit.
Did she try to buy a Tesla in your name?
Yes.
Next time on Queen of the Con.
I would get texts from her dad's assistant. Hey, have you seen Danielle? Like, we haven't, you know, last time we talked to her, she disappeared for a couple days. And then her dad would email me. And like, once again, none of those things existed.
Oh, so wait a minute. That's not her dad. That's not her dad's assistant. She created accounts to impersonate them to you.
Yes.
But Mackenzie Day figures out a clever way to out-con the con artist.
I mean, that's when the New York prosecutors ended up calling me because they heard the recorded conversations. And it was so funny. The first time I just really got her, she was just stunned. Like, I felt like I broke her brain finally.
Portions of public statements made to the media by Danielle Miller were dramatized verbatim in this episode, as were questions and comments from those interviewing her.
If you're enjoying Queen of the Con, click share and send it to your friends and family. Also, leave us a 5-star review. Reviews increase the odds that other listeners like you will find us. Queen of the Con, The Rich Girl, is a production of AYR Media and iHeartMedia, hosted by me, Jonathan Walton, executive producers Jonathan Walton for Jonathan Walton Productions and Aliza Rosen for AYR Media, executive producer Paulina Williams, written by Jonathan Walton, consulting producer Evan Goldstein, segment producer Kathy Abraham, senior associate producer Jill Pashesnik, coordinator George Pham, sound design by Tim Mulhern, edited and mixed by Tim Mulhern, supervising editor Victoria Cheng, audio engineer Justin Longerbeam, studio engineer Matteo Berrigan, mastered by Victoria Cheng, legal counsel for AYR Media Gianni Douglas, voice acting by Melina Krolieski, court records, police records, the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, victim interviews, interviews with investigators, the New York Post, New York Magazine, and Spotify's Forbidden Fruits were the sources used for this season of Queen of the Con.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.